Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
At 4:25, Bradley Beal sent a bunch of tweets angrily at Kent Bazemore, who made fun of Bradley Beal. We're going to make our assistant producer, Ryan, read those tweets on the air. Could be fun. We'll do that coming up this hour on G&D. Speaking of the Wizards, time to kick off the Beltway Blitz on the hardwood. We will be discussing the Washington football team and the Nationals. But right now, let's get started with the history that was made last night. Grant and Danny's Beltway Blitz on the Fans, starting with Glenn Consor. You saw him on NBC Sports Washington yesterday. You see him so regularly on TV, but also listen to him on the radio so regularly with Dave Johnson. Glenn, really appreciate a couple of minutes. Where do we start with Russell Westbrook? Nobody in the history of this game has ever done what he's done. Triple-double king now. What do you make of it?
Well, you know, we're looking at history right now, and the way he's playing is, you know, throw the stats out the window. I mean, he's playing at a level that I think has rarely been seen in the NBA, a guy doing as much as he is doing to help his team win. And I think that's the key. You know, quite frankly, you always hear the term, well, he just plays harder than anybody else. Well, my feeling is he competes harder than anybody else. And then you blend it in with his skill sets, you got a monster.
Glenn, you've been in and around this game for so long, and eras change, and you know they play so much faster. There's more jump shots and threes now than maybe, you know, what I grew up with, certainly in the 90s, the era of the center. But regardless of, kind of as you said, these statistical milestones, even in an era where maybe some of these numbers are inflated, are just staggering. The rebounding numbers, that's what I can't get over. He's top five in rebounding, not amongst guards, amongst all human beings playing basketball. That's what I cannot fathom, Glenn.
Well, you're right, Danny. I mean, he's a point guard in Rodman's body.
Yeah.
You know, with Rodman's mindset of getting after every single rebound, and it doesn't matter who's in front of him. Most of his rebounds are coming against centers. And that's, you know, that's just, you know, a crazy combination of will, energy, passion. And, you know, if you listen to Russ, he goes, well, man, I just go out and get it. I want to get rebounds. And he does. And that's, you know, Rodman's mm-hmm. philosophy, who to me was, that's the best rebounder I've ever seen, was Dennis Rodman. So you could throw Russ back into that boat too.
15-5 now in their last 20 games, the Wizards, while Westbrook's averaging 23-14-14. 17 triple-doubles in those 20 games. You know, we've been tracking this history and this chase, but really what's cooler is that they're now going to make this play-in tournament, and they're climbing the standings, last night notwithstanding, one-point loss. When you look at this playoff picture, what is your hope for them in terms of a matchup? What would work out best for them, do you think?
You know, I don't think it, you know, from a matchup standpoint, I don't think it matters. Because I think we are the team that nobody wants to play, period. You know, especially if Bradley can come back. You know, obviously, you know, Brad's injury, look what happened to the Celtics with Jaylen Brown. You know, injuries play a massive part into this. But, you know, I still think we're the team that nobody wants to play because we're so different than our record states. You know, you always hear that term, you know, you're as good as your record is. Well, throw that out the window because we're not. And right now, we're the team that, you know, is getting great production from a three-headed monster in the middle. And, you know, if Bertans can get hot, you know, the scouting, you throw scouting reports out, you throw everything out the window, nobody's going to want to play us. We're a hard team to prepare for right now.
Glenn, awesome as always, buddy. Be well, man. Have a good rest of your week.
See you guys.
See you, my friend. Let's talk a little baseball, please. About Byron Curry, you hear him on updates, you hear him on the Curly W podcast. He knows the Nationals inside and out. Steven Strasburg throwing a baseball. He did it 62 times here, a little sim game action at Nats Park. BK, what can you tell us?
Yeah, Davey just talked about it on the pregame about how Strasburg's legs are getting underneath him. He's building some strength, and there's a possibility by the end of the week he could have a rehab assignment or another sim game, and later on he was hoping 5 ups and 75 pitches the next time. He talked about how, you know, Strasburg is chomping at the bit, getting a little antsy, getting a little ornery right now, and really wants to be out there, so that is certainly a good sign, but he wants to make sure that that strength is to the point where they want him to be so he could come out and pitch again. But he was also pleasantly surprised that he actually got to 62 pitches, as you talked about, and that he got 4 ups today, so that is a good sign that he is close. And with the mention of maybe one more sim game, and then maybe after that, if everything goes well, he could come back in the lineup.
Oh, wow. So maybe not even a minor league rehab, even with the minors starting again. Another pitcher, Byron, that is trying to work his way back is Wander Suero. He was at Nats Park today. He's getting checked out by the medical staff, thrown in the outfield. Are they getting closer to adding him back to this bullpen, which could use a shot in the arm after this weekend?
Yeah, they really could use a shot in the arm after Brad Hand having trouble finding the strike zone, Grant. And yes, that is what Davey thinks. Activation either tomorrow or the next day for Wander Suero. As you said, after the team doctor takes a look at him, and, you know, he likes to use Suero a lot. He mentioned that today in the pregame show and how he wants to, you know, get him back in the bullpen because the bullpen could use him as well. And, you know, Suero a little bit shaky at the beginning of his Rochester outing, but then Davey liked the way he calmed down. He said that manager Matt Lecoy told him that he looked like Suero, so that's a good point. And when he says activation tomorrow or the next day, that's really good news for the Nats bullpen.
They need some consistency out of this offense. It's really the middle of the order here, BK. It's Bell, it's Schwarber, and to a degree, Castro. Castro's RBI numbers are good, but the power numbers just aren't there. Turner and Soto are going to Turner and Soto. The rest of these guys need to get going. I don't know what the fix is. I don't know if there's a shuffle. I don't really know what to do other than saying, hey, try to hit better, guys. Good luck, you know?
Yeah, and he's going to mix up the lineup a little bit today, Danny. Trey Turner leading off, Juan Soto batting second, then Bell, then Schwarber, and then push Harrison all the way back down to 7 with Gomes, Castro, Harrison, and Robles. He's trying to get a little bit of home to the lower half of the order. Davey said today he wants to lengthen that lineup again. And, you know, there was question today about, you know, do you want to play Ryan Zimmerman more? And, you know, Davey said no. Josh Bell is our first baseman. It's still early in the season. He's starting to get some good looks, you know, had the big double in New York, had a homer before that, and obviously he's had a lot of offers in between. He wants that middle of that lineup, Danny, to try to find a way to go after the fastball earlier in counts and try to attack the fastball early. He says sometimes we're letting the best pitches that we could hit go by early to kind of establish ourselves. And ironically, Jesse Dougherty talked about it today. They're not walking that much either. They're 27 out of 30 teams in walks as well. So they need some more base runners. They need to elongate these at-bats. But if you see that fastball early, as Grant always talks about, they got to go for it more and be more aggressive. And maybe that will help the middle of the lineup.
You mentioned Bell, 141 average. That'll obviously come up. I get that. What's alarmed me, and you just referenced maybe staying out of these two strike counts, it's the swings and misses and strikeouts. He's striking out about 33% of the time. And that's just not really been the book or the MO for him in his career. I knew Schwarber was going to strike out a whole lot, but Bell doing that this early is pretty alarming. Are they still kind of chalking some of this up to chasing his tail post-COVID?
You know, and Davey continues to be optimistic about him, and, you know, that's the way he likes to build his players up. Grant, he talks about how I believe in Josh Bell. He's our first baseman. We signed him to be the first baseman. So they continue to be confident about what Josh Bell can do when he gets going. But you're absolutely right. He's getting set up right now by these pitchers who are going to their best stuff on that two-strike count. And they have a couple of pitches where they can drop him right in front of him, and he swings at it. So maybe we'll see Josh Bell try to attack a little bit earlier in the count. Maybe that'll help a little bit, because once he gets the two strikes, he's in a lot of trouble. And it really seems like, you know, he's a little bit slower than he had been with his swing rate than he was when he was hot with the Pirates. So it's something maybe to watch tonight against the Phillies and throughout this week, is to see if he gets a little bit more aggressive and tries to make some contact earlier in the count.
The old behind the fastball in front of the curveball quandary that has undone a lot of hitters. BK, you're the best, buddy. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. Let's talk some Washington foosball team, please. Sam Fortier, the Washington Post, will come on to the radio right now to do that very thing. Sam, are they going to sign Charles Leno? What's the deal?
I think that's a really good question that everybody wants to know. But as far as we know, they're kind of evaluating, hey, what are we willing to offer? What is Charles Leno interested in receiving? It seems like they're just kind of looking that through and evaluating where they stand on those situations.
Washington released tight end Marcus Ball. Does that mean that they like Sam Reyes, or am I thinking too much into that?
Yeah, I think you're thinking too much into it, because I still maintain that Sam Reyes has never played a football game before. It's going to take a lot, I think, to get him to a place where he's going to be ready to go into an NFL game. I think you look up and down the roster. I mean, yeah, you do have some developmental projects. You know, Dylan Cantrell, a former receiver, Tyrone Swoops, a former quarterback. You have a lot of different options when it comes to tight end this year. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Sam Reyes balls out in a way we don't expect, and a la Logan Thomas last year, but I'm still skeptical.
Don't forget, Tim Tebow is now an NFL tight end as well.
Yeah, I mean, they could go out and get that. I feel like that would be a pretty Washington football team move from years past, if I understand the history of this franchise correctly.
You understand correctly. Master Samwise, what's a realistic expectation for our bookend defensive ends here as they're kind of entering? Year three now for Sweat, year two for Chase Young. What should we expect from them this season?
Yeah, I think Montez Sweat, you just want to see continued growth, right? Especially from year two to year three for an edge rusher. But if you look at the historical performance of edge rushers from year one to year two, except maybe Nick Bosa, who had a really standout rookie year, edge rushers take a leap. So for Chase Young, I mean, obviously, you know, he had some really standout moments last year, right? Like the scoop and score, you know, the big stop on fourth down against Pittsburgh, some really impressive moments as a rookie, but you really want to see him improve, and I think you should expect to see Chase Young take a pretty good step forward, provided he stays healthy, provided you know he stays on his upward trajectory. I think he would be the one, maybe even more than Sweat, that you'd say, okay, we're expecting to see a pretty large step forward going into year two.
Speaking of steps forward, I think this is going to be a huge year for Scott Turner as a play caller, as an OC. He did not have the weapons, the pieces on offense, the quarterback play, to get a whole lot done last year. And so I kind of dismissed a lot of them ranking terribly in a lot of categories. It's not his fault, but he has a lot of pieces now, and I feel like there's going to be more pressure. What do you make of that?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, Ron Rivera said in what was it, week three, week four last year, you are not going to see a full version of this offense until 2021. And when you think about his Air Coryell-based scheme, you go out and you get Curtis Samuel, you get De'Ami Brown in the third round. They have a lot of speed in that receiving group now, and it's up to Scott Turner to you know utilize these pieces correctly. But I do think the pieces will be in place for him to kind of show what this offense really could look like, especially with a quarterback who could throw it downfield now, like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Sam, I had this really fun vision where Landon Collins wasn't playing strong safety anymore for most of the time. It was playing linebacker, and I was like having fun. And I had this like really cool idea where like multiple safeties would be on the field and different guys would blitz, and he would have his skill set fully utilized and wouldn't be like this giant sinkhole of where a whole bunch of the salary cap money is going to. And then they specifically announced that he's playing strong safety again, and my dream died. What's up with that?
Yeah, I think that was a very pointed, you know, news item from the team to put out there, especially the way it was phrased in their tweet. You know, Landon Collins will stay at strong safety. But I think when you think about that, opens up the question, okay, what does that mean? Does that mean they're going to let him compete at strong safety and say, you know, through training camp, you got to beat out Cam Curl? Because Cam Curl played really well last year, and he showed nothing that suggests he should be on the bench at all. So I think you say, okay, is he competing at strong safety? Are you shifting Cam Curl to free safety? Because you still don't have a true free safety on the roster, because even though that fifth-round pick out of Cincinnati, Derek Forrest, looks like he could play it, he said he's more comfortable with strong. Ron said he's, you know, the skill set is more strong. So I think I would make of that that when they go into training camp, they are not having their minds made up. You know, I think they're going to say, hey, it's competition like they do for every other position. So I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but I think certainly they're keeping their cards close to the vest right now.
Sam, thank you, buddy. Good to having you on the Blitz.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
See you. We do it every day at 4 o'clock. Three teams in town you care about. Jam it into one segment for you to get a lot of intel. Danny, big takeaway for me out of that Blitz was the Strasburg note.
Yes.
From Byron Kerr, Davey, just talking to reporters, including Byron. Strass just threw two live batters. We actually saw a clip of it here on the ballpark cam. They did a check-in on MLB Network. He threw 62 pitches. They were hoping he would throw 50, threw a bonus 12. So that sounds like a good sign, assuming he is wakes up and has no issues tomorrow on a fast track. And I also was intrigued to hear he may not have a rehab start. Just do that again.
Okay.
Up his pitch total, and then have him pitch in a game rather than having him go throw in Fredericksburg or something.
Which I thought was very interesting. Also, Wander Suero, less significant, but still not nothing, coming back to the ballpark as well. He might be activated pretty soon, according to some of the tweets that I just read on that front. But it sounds like Strasburg working back pretty quickly. I've just been so desperate for updates and positive news about Strasburg, so I got some. I'm happy about that.
I don't like when players waste their time arguing with other players. Generally speaking,
mm-hmm.
Bradley Beal got called out by a dude who plays for the Warriors, who doesn't matter here in Washington. And then Bradley Beal went on a Twitter diatribe to send a bunch of tweets back at that guy. So we've printed out those tweets, and we're going to have Ryan, our assistant producer, read Bradley Beal's rant to Kent mm-hmm. Bazemore. We'll get you up to speed on the beef between a Warrior and a Wizard next on Grant and Danny. The Fan. Appreciate you guys being part of the show as always. 5 at 5 is about 30 minutes out. So yesterday, Kent Bazemore made a comment about Bradley Beal, took a shot. It was unnecessary. And I thought it was just kind of a low blow. Beal didn't take kindly to it, and he decided to come back with like 36 tweets angrily at Kent Bazemore, which I love. Let's just focus on the playoffs and things that matter. But Beal was really unhappy, and so he was angry, and he took to social media to vent his frustration. There is a history here between Bazemore and the Wizards, by the way.
And Beal specifically, too, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
So when Bazemore played for the Hawks in a playoff series, he kind of undercut Beal when he was dunking at one point. But he was going back and forth with John Wall and Brad Beal for the entire series, and there's bad blood between them. So that kind of, I think, is part of why
that's the backdrop.
Beal had a little bit of animosity. But the quote that I originally saw from Kent Bazemore that Beal did not take kindly to was about Steph Curry. He was at shoot-around, and he said, he was asked about Steph trying to win the scoring title. He said, 49 points in 29 minutes, that's unreal. And this is Bazemore, who's Curry's good buddy and Curry's teammate in Golden State. He said, then we got guys hurting hamstrings trying to keep up, so y'all got to do some research on that. Making fun of Bradley Beal, who's trying to win the scoring title, I guess, for hurting his hamstring while trying to out-duel Steph Curry.
In a game, he scored 50. It's a weird insult.
Curry scored 49 that same night, by the way.
Well, yeah, Curry's great. You're not getting me to say anything other than that. Yeah,
Beal dropped 50, which was unbelievable, and needed all of them in a win in overtime. He didn't even get to play in overtime, or maybe he would have scored closer to 60. But Bazemore is making fun of him for hurting his hamstring. So that comment was ridiculous. I'm Team Beal in that. That was a low blow and just a crappy comment. But then Beal decided that he was going to go on a rant and take to Twitter to try to, like, impress everyone, you know, and say, I'm the alpha here. I'm going to own you on Twitter in this exchange. So that's where we bring in our buddy Ryan Clary, who's our assistant producer, because we were hoping that you could print off all of Bradley Beal's tweets and read some of them.
Correct.
So what do you have? How many tweets did you grab?
I have three tweets. These are the three ones that he sent that were directly at 24 Bazemore.
I mean, there are others that you can't read. There's one that's just like a gif of a clown hopping around in front of curtains.
Exactly, yeah.
But these are the ones that might translate. So, okay, let's hear what you got. You'll read them as yourself. This is Bradley Beal to Kent Bazemore.
Yeah, so this is the first tweet at 24 Bazemore. You don't know me or bleep about me, bruh. Mm-hmm. You don't know why I go out there and play, and it damn sure ain't for another man's approval. You straight lame, but it don't surprise me coming from you. That's what yo type do. That was tweet number one.
Wow.
Tweet number one.
Hold tweet on. Number one.
So I want you to read it again, and this time I'm going to jot down the areas where I've got some questions. So go ahead and read tweet one again for me. And you can emphasize, like, where, if there's all caps, or if there's any kind of, like, if it's clear he's angry at a certain word, you can emphasize that.
Gotcha. All right. Rereading tweet number one.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know me or bleep about me, bruh. You don't know why I go out there and play it, and damn sure ain't for another man's approval. You straight lame, but it don't surprise me coming from you. That's what yo type do.
Wow.
Mm.
Danny, that is, he carried him. He carried
him. So if that's where this whole thing ended, I would have been like, yeah, that's my guy, Bradley Beal.
Oh, you would have been happy with that?
That, I think, would have been good.
Okay.
Like, in other words, what are you talking about, guy?
Right.
I'm over here.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Let the adults who are averaging 34.
Yeah. Hey, Ricky, the role player, who's lucky to get 15 right. minutes tonight, even though he had a nice game that night, by the way, when all this happened. He had 19, high for the season. That's a quarter for Beal.
I love that he called him lame. I think that's just such a great put down. Like, when you call someone lame, that hurts.
Uh-huh.
That hurts them a lot. And then there's something else at the end there. Oh, like, that's what is he, when he says your type, is he saying role players?
That's what I wonder about.
Is he saying guys who can't get buckets?
Or dirty players who have undercut me in the past and have multiple incidents and reputations? Is it
your type or yo type?
Yo type.
Y-O?
Y-O, yo.
That's what yo type.
Yo type do. That's what yo type do.
Mm.
Okay.
You heard the man.
Look at Ryan. He's getting into it. Settle down, Ryan. Okay,
this is a dramatic reading of Bradley Beal's tweets by
let's
Ryan.
Stick to the script here, Ryan. All right, yo type. All right, fine.
Dude, he's feeling the role right now.
No, you are in character. You're Bradley Beal.
That energy that he had last night has kind of transferred over to me at 4:31 today.
I get it. Okay. What do you have for tweet number two?
Tweet number two. At 24 Bazemore. It's funny you say that.
By the way, he's adding him in all these?
That's the key.
That is the first thing that he does is at 24 Bazemore, which is his Twitter
handle. A little bit. Because if you're just saying it into the world, subtweeting him, no, and you're not even doing it at the end. Like, by the way, this is at you. You're starting the tweet. You're saying, I'm coming for you.
Exactly. In today's world, that's how it is. That's how you confront people on social media. So tweet number two. At 24 Bazemore, it's funny you say that because your man's admittedly checked my numbers before the game, but I'm chasing. Shut your ass up.
Whoa.
So now we've gotten to the point where I'm going, okay, you already won. You made your point.
There was no new comment from Bazemore.
Right. This is still Beal.
So
Bazemore's in game during this time.
Right. Bazemore is in the middle
of scoring. He's on the court.
19 points in 34 minutes, one of his best games of the season, which for Bradley Beal would have been like, you know, a disappointing Monday night. But for Bazemore, like, we're throwing a party. We're getting home. My wife are high-fiving, and I scored 19 points tonight. So read that one again. And is it your or yo at the end?
It's yo again.
It's yo. Interesting. I need to change how I do.
Yeah.
I always say your, but yo kind of is more emphatic, I guess.
Yeah.
That's how you, like, really put someone in their place.
You emphasize it.
So give me the second one again.
At 24 Bazemore, it's funny you say that because your man's admittedly checked my numbers before the game, but I'm chasing. Shut your ass up.
Now, I don't know what his source is on this. I don't know how he knows that Steph Curry's checking Bradley Beal's numbers.
Is that who your man's is?
Has to be. Has to be.
Your man's means Steph Curry?
Has to be.
So I guarantee then, at some point there was a quote that came out where someone asked, hey, were you watching, do you know that Bradley just scored 50? And your man's, Steph Curry, said, look, I'm the man's, and I'll score 49. So he knows that your man's, and that's Curry, obviously. He knows that he searched him out before the game.
So, but now Beal went from the winner to starting to look like a little bit Richard Petty to me.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's gone from my hamstrings hurt, but I'm second in the league in scoring for a team that has more than one option.
Yeah.
Where you guys don't have any more options.
What he should have said is, I'll talk to Steph Curry and other people averaging the same number of points as I am and nobody else.
Raise your hand if you're average north of 30. Go away. Anyone that's
Everyone
not that.
Else, yeah. Leave me alone.
So, but now this doesn't look as good as maybe he thinks it looks.
So now we get another tweet, right?
There we go.
There's a third tweet.
Well,
correct.
The next in sequence is the clown, I believe.
Yes. After that second tweet, that's when he posted the clown GIF. So,
And by the way, I always say GIF. Is it a GIF?
There's a debate there.
No, but he would know. He's younger than
he's a younger.
I say both. I don't know. I really don't.
To me, GIF
both.
Is peanut butter. GIF is the internet thing.
If you had. You got $1 million for getting it right on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And I'm like Regis Philbin, the late, great Regis Philbin.
Regis Paulson.
Said, Ryan, is that your final answer? Would it be GIF or GIF?
I think I would go GIF just because the G's there. So that's what I would go with.
Okay.
But it just came out of my mouth.
All right. Third tweet. This is actually the fourth tweet then.
Yes, after the clown.
But the third one that you're going to read for us.
Correct.
Because the clown one, I actually... If he would have just done that one and nothing else, that also would have played.
Yeah, any one of these, I think, on their own is perfect. Because there's three hands with a pointer down to the clown emoji, letting you know, at 24 Bazemore, then 3 points down. Not one, not two, three.
So the tweet itself is like three-pointer fingers down.
Three-pointer fingers down,
like,
and then here's the clown.
Check out this GIF, it's about you.
Here's the clown waving around.
All right, so what's our next tweet?
Tweet number three. He doesn't at Bazemore at first here.
Oh, no.
But we'll get into it. I stay in my lane. Focus on Brad. I don't care what another man doing in this league. I'm concerned about me and my guys over here. Keep that goofy bleep over there at 24 Bazemore exclamation point.
So now we're in a situation where he's just screaming at a wall.
Yeah.
The guy originally said something, and you're just now screaming at him. And he's not responding. And over again. It does not look great to just keep going. I'm with you. Like, any of these by themselves, fine. You responded. Now it's just, it's like someone drives by and like looks over at you. You're on the side of the road. And it's like, nice shirt, idiot. And like, I don't know why anyone would do that. But then
let's say
like,
someone did.
Yeah, they like drive off. And then you just keep screaming at this car that can't hear you anymore. Oh, it just, you look bad as you keep screaming.
Well, but there's also some irony there. I stay in my lane. I focus on Brad. You're literally not doing that right now.
You're not in your own lane.
You're
in a different lane.
This is your fourth tweet to Kent Bazemore. You know what I'm saying? Like, I focus on myself. Okay, begin to do that. Exercise that.
Well, but also, and you didn't pull these, by the way, Ryan, but there were also tweets before all this where he's like, talking to Twitter about, should I get him? Am I going to do it? Am I going to bring down the house right now? Should I end this guy's night? Like, did you see those as well?
I did see those. I just really didn't think they were a meat.
LOL. Should I let him live or really go off?
Right.
That's in that. And then the debate happens. And then he decides to
let
go
him
off.
Live, you know, because he ended his life.
Yes.
With these tweets that Ryan read.
These four tweets.
I don't know how Kent Bazemore woke up this morning. LOL, should I let him live or really go off? And then I stay in my lane. Oh, this is, you read that one. Okay. Yeah, we're hopping all over the place here. So read the last one again then, please.
I stay in my lane. Focus on Brad. I don't care what another man doing in this league. I'm concerned about me and my guys over here. Keep that goofy bleep over there at 24 Bazemore.
I like that he mixed it up and put the Bazemore at the end this time. Kept him guessing. He's like, is he going to at me?
Is he going to at me?
This guy's not adding me? Oh, there it is.
No, it's right there at the end. Again,
he called him goofy.
Yeah, which each one of these individually holds up. And I think advantage Beal. But then when you add them up, now you got the totality. You got four different tweets. While Bazemore's like in the middle of the third quarter, sitting on the bench, listening to Steve Kerr. I don't know. That doesn't look as awesome to me. I know they don't like each other, and that's good. I like that Bradley Beal's got enemies. I like that he's got chips on his shoulder. Keep getting doubted and keep putting up 32
Michael a night. Jordan style.
Yeah.
And I took that personally. Yeah. Maybe Twitter not being around makes me think that the guys before were different. Like, I just can't see Michael Jordan getting into a petty Twitter exchange with Kent Bazemore. You know what I mean? Like, to me, Jordan's either getting into a Twitter exchange with LeBron, he's getting into a Twitter exchange with, like, you know, Harden, or you don't make the cut. Yeah. I'm not punching down to Kent Bazemore.
Like, did James Worthy start S-talking to, like, Jeff Malone? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not a thing.
He's certainly not, like, shaking his fist at the sea, like, waiting for him to respond. Like, all right, guys, should I get him? Should I get him? All right, I'm going to get him.
I'm going to get him.
I love this quote from Bazemore, though, by the way, even though I'm Team Beal on this. He was asked after the game about this, and he's like, yeah, look, I'm not responding. Like, it was a joke. I guess you can't joke anymore. First of all, it's a terrible joke. You're unfunny, Kent Bazemore. It wasn't a funny joke. You're talking about a guy hurting his hamstring. Like, what's funny about that? It was just a jerk thing to say. But I liked this. He said, his plans for the rest of the night did not include responding to Beal. I'm going to go home, love up my wife, watch some Peaky Blinders, and go to bed.
Silly Night by Kent Bazemore.
So, I mean, that's not a terrible night.
That's
pretty
good.
It's a good TV show. He says, I got work to do tomorrow. So I kind of like that. But, yeah, winner Bradley Beal. So, all right, let's wrap it up. Give us all three then, rapid fire. What do you got in your best dramatic reading, please?
All right, we're going to start back at tweet number one, at 24Bazemore. You don't know me or bleep about it, bruh. You don't know why I go out there and play, and it damn sure ain't for another man's approval. You straight lame, but it don't surprise me coming from you. That's what yo type do. Tweet number two. At 24Bazemore, it's funny you say that because your man's admittedly checked my numbers before the game, but I'm chasing? Shut your ass up. Then
that's my favorite Ryan delivery right there.
I liked I'm chasing. I don't know why when Ryan says I'm chasing, he gets so into it.
It's emphasized. That's why. Yeah. He told me to emphasize.
So. Well, how is it emphasized?
It's all in all caps.
It's all caps. It's all caps.
Exclamation chasing? Points. Yes.
Oh, wow.
I'm chasing. Both are excellent.
Wow. No wonder why you're so into it.
Exactly. So, and then after that, he posts the clown gif or gif, whatever. All right. Tweet number three. I stay in my lane. Focus on Brad. I don't care what any other man doing in this league. I'm concerned about me and my guys over here. Keep that goofy bleep over there at 24Bazemore. Boom.
And scene.
Attaboy. I think we got something here.
Yep.
We got a little voice act.
Ryan reads tweets.
Good boy, yeah. We'll get, you know what we should do is have Ryan read the mean tweets that get sent to us like at the end of every week. I've muted and blocked
Yeah, I was
going
to say, you guys have to find them for us because we muted so many dudes. Yeah,
I've muted like every single, the other day I was thinking to myself, I'm like, you know, people are being so nice to me on Twitter lately. It's amazing. People have started to like me. Like everyone's just saying nice things. And I'm like, nope, I've just muted every single person who says anything negative to the point where I have a selective, like, fake audience now that just is the only people that I
have
can see.
Overwhelmingly positive response from my tweets,
right, exactly.
Said the naive person.
Said the guy who blocked everyone or muted everyone who says mean things. Grant and Danny on the Fan, you sent me something I want to get into next. You sent me the odds for Aaron Rodgers leaving Green Bay and where he could end up. Let's tackle that in a moment on GND. Top of the hour, 5:25 today. I've purposefully not looked. SI wrote about the five rookie quarterbacks in the first round and who's most likely to succeed. I've ranked my top five. We're going to compare and contrast, see how it ranks and stacks up to what they think about this year's first rounders and who's in the best to the worst situation to get their career started. Aaron Rodgers, odds to leave Green Bay. Really haven't done a lot of football at all today, so good to squeeze it in here for a couple minutes, Danny. You just sent me this, so let's dive into it.
Even money, 1-1. Will Aaron Rodgers take Packers' first snap in week one? No. Getting 5-7 odds, -140. Basically, Aaron Rodgers, people think he's gone. People think that this is over. I know that we were sort of doing this with Deshaun Watson, and we kind of said, you know, how much smoke or how much fire is there with Russell Wilson in Seattle, and guys have kind of agitated a little bit. I think the public, and I think bet makers here, are buying this, that this really is a divorce that is going to happen, that it maybe irrevocable differences between the two parties.
Aaron Rodgers, I've come to the realization, will be with the Packers in week one.
That's what you'd bet on right now if you had to bet?
I think so. How can they allow him to leave? You have to force him to retire if you're Green Bay. That's what I would do. Grant Gutekunst, Matt Paulson, Grant LaFleur, whatever I'm going to be in this role play here. He's not going anywhere. Because Davante Adams, and we'll talk about this in the 5 at 5, said on Colin Cowherd's show on FS1 yesterday, if Aaron Rodgers is out, I'm going to rethink whether or not I want to be with the Packers as well. It could be a mass exodus, or at least lead to whether those guys can all actually force their way out like Rodgers can or not. It could potentially lead to a bunch of guys throwing their hands up saying they don't want to be here either. I don't know that you have a choice in this situation. I'm keeping him, and if he doesn't want to play, that's fine, then he will retire, and he won't play anywhere. So enjoy Jeopardy and Shailene Woodley and whatever, you know, astronomy science projects you guys are working on and counting the stars at night with your apps on your phones. That's what you're going to be doing now because it's not going to be playing football.
Wouldn't it be beneficial to the team to get an enormous haul instead of having nothing? Because yes. I see your point. I know what you're saying.
Yes, it would.
Then why not do that?
Well,
if he's really going to retire, then why not trade him?
Two reasons. Number one, I don't think he would actually retire, and I'm betting on that.
So that's what I want to get to.
So I'm basically calling his bluff.
Right. I think that's what they should do.
He says he's going to retire, and I say, okay, retire. And if he retires, then I lost that gamble, and I could trade his rights potentially to someone midway through the season or whatever. I don't think he would actually retire. I think he'd show back up and he'd begrudgingly play football and maybe he'd be a pain in the butt. But if he actually wants to go somewhere else, he's going to have to play good football. And if a quarterback's playing good football, I'm winning football games. So I don't care how unhappy he is. If I'm winning games, that's kind of the goal for me. The other part of it is, while I think they would do really well in compensation and they would get a nice package back for Aaron Rodgers, I still think that you could do a larger disservice to yourself by trading him. Because
you'll never get value back for that.
Not only that, Davante Adams said publicly on television yesterday, if Rodgers is out, that he might also want to be out. That's the only player who's been asked about this. Players respect players. Game respects game. Those guys will take his side over the team.
Yeah, they know.
So if one guy that we've heard from so far is on Team Aaron Rodgers,
it happens to be the best receiver alive.
How many other guys in that locker room? The best tackle in the league, potentially, David Bakhtiari. I mean, how many of the other guys would go, I'm Team Rodgers, too. I don't want to be here. So you might trade Aaron Rodgers and get some draft picks and some young players back. But if you've got a bunch of guys that are now disenfranchised and annoyed and want to act like this is their ticket and their chance to get out of here, and you have an actual rebellion on your hands, potentially, is it worth getting a few draft picks for it? So if he retires, it's his decision. We want Aaron Rodgers here. We're working with Aaron Rodgers. We're doing everything we can to make him happy. He doesn't want to be here. There's nothing we can do about that. It's a different sell job to a guy like Davante Adams.
But wouldn't you get, let's say it's 100 of the effect if you traded him.
In other words,
so you trade Aaron Rodgers, you say goodbye, you're too much of a headache, you're gone, and you get your draft picks back. That's 100 out of 100 in terms of the effect of, I can't believe they got rid of Aaron Rodgers. What are they doing? What's their problem? So you get that maximum effect there on other players who might rebel. Okay, let's say that's 100 out of 100. Wouldn't you get like a 75 if you forced him into retirement?
I'm not forcing him to do anything.
Well,
I'm just.
But you kind of are.
Here's my response to those players. What do you want me to do? You're mad if I trade him, and you're also mad if he retires. Where am I supposed to go here? I don't have an option.
You're supposed to get down on your knees and thank God you got one of these guys because you've had 30 years of great quarterback play. Now, I don't know how that manifests itself in terms of action.
That's too bad.
If the ship has sailed.
Now, I have made it very clear to this pain in the ass that I like him and that I want him here. What else do you want me to do? I'm sorry that I didn't draft the player that you want that one time. I'm sorry that I drafted a quarterback when you were 35 in case you started to continue to slow down. I screwed up a couple times. I'm telling you, you're here. I've paid you at the top of the league year in and year out for years and years and years and years. Everything I've ever said publicly about you has been nothing but rosy. I don't know what else you want me to do here. So, yeah, I mean, you're saying, well, if you trade him, they're angry. And
yes,
if he retires,
we agree
they're
there.
Angry.
If
okay,
you...
then they'll be angry. But all I'm doing is trying to keep him in the building, which I think is what they want. And certainly what I want.
Well, I think it's what they want. Yeah, it's what I would want too. But I think this really all depends on if you really and truly believe he's going to retire. Right? If you think it's like, as you approached it, like this is just a bluff. This is the only thing he's got in his deck of cards where he can use the trump card on me, where I get nothing. He doesn't play anymore. And all my players on this roster are going to hate me because I went from NFC Championship Super Bowl contender with one of the greatest to ever live, MVP of last year, to whatever the hell Jordan Love's going to be, and a guy that can't mask for all my deficiencies. Players will be furious at that you let it get to this point. But I think your stance is right on in the sense that you've got to figure out, would he really go through with it?
And
he might be eclectic enough to do it.
I mean, this needs to be said too. At some point, you got to do what's right for the team, whether players are unhappy or not.
Mm-hmm.
The Green Bay Packers existed before Aaron Rodgers and before Devontae Adams, and they'll still exist after those guys. And they might be worse, and it might take a few years to build this thing back up. But you can't just make a bunch of decisions based on what the players of this moment in your locker room think or want. I mean, if teams made decisions all the time based on just making players happy, A, they wouldn't win, and B, you know, they'd be chasing a ghost. That's not how you do business. We'll play the clip that I'm referring to of Devontae Adams saying he may also want out if Rodgers is out. Coming up in just a few. 5 at 5 is next. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.